We've got some special guests joining us in studio right now. Secretary of the Interior, Doug Burgum, and our friend Congressman Ryan Zinke. Nice to meet you, Mr. Secretary.
Great to be with you, Dave. Thanks for having us on.
What brings the Secretary of the Interior to Montana?
Well, we're here because Montana is such an important state on an issue that our nation's facing, and that's we got to get back in the mining business. China is controlling all the critical minerals that you need for our modern economy. They're controlling the minerals we need for defense and national security. We're going to be visiting, Congressman and I, the Montana Tech today. As a North Dakota State Bison, I'm glad we're not visiting Montana State right now, but we're looking forward to getting to Montana Tech. This is one of the last schools in the country where you can get a mining and metallurgical degree. We graduated about 300 in our nation last year with mining and metallurgical degrees. We graduated at 36,000 lawyers. We need to flip that around because we've got to be able to build great things in this country. And if we don't have secure supply chains for critical minerals, it affects. And again, people say, listen, go, how does it affect me? If you're going to drive a car today, it's got critical minerals. If you're going to use a cell phone today, it's got critical minerals. If you care about the defense of this nation, we can't do anything we do in defense without critical minerals. And Montana can play a key part of that.
So we have critical minerals here in this state.
Yeah, this is an energy critical mineral rich state, and it's everything from traditional mines, but just like in North Dakota, the lignite in North Dakota and Montana contains some of the highest concentrations of gallium and germanium in the country. So big opportunities with innovation, with clean new techniques to have this be an important part of the nation's economy and important for Montana.
I think a lot of people, when you think of mining, you think of like the 1800s. But like you said, I mean, it's still a very important piece of our safety and also our economy.
Yeah, and this is and it's changed so much. I mean, this is a high tech business. If you go, and I've had a chance to get in mines this year and see what people are doing, but it's just even like the shale revolution in eastern Montana, western North Dakota, and the Bakken. I mean, we have people in this country that think that. That oil and gas production is like Daniel Day-Lewis on There Will Be Blood, like there's black and white movie, and everybody's covered with oil. I mean, you go into a drill shack in the Bakken, and it's a 25-year-old kid with a petroleum engineering degree with a white lab coat surrounded by computers. You don't even see a drop of oil. And then you say, how in the world do you go down 2 miles with a drill, turn a corner, and go 2 miles horizontally, and now 3 and 4 miles horizontally? And the Bakken, where the oil's coming from, is only 30 feet thick. It's 30 feet thick, so they stay inside of it for miles. And he said, sir, if your house was 2 miles down and 4 miles over, I could drill the lockout in the front door. I mean, these are all high-tech businesses these days. And any young person that's thinking about going into these businesses is going to have a career where it's a 100% job placement at really high prices. I mean, these are in-demand jobs for the future.
And it's not going anywhere.
No,
well,
not at all.
Remember, the secretary was the governor of North Dakota. On the Bakken, on the unfortunate part for Montana is most of it's sitting over in North Dakota. And we're actually taking a look at that border line to see if we can adjust it a little. but what's changed is technology. And look, there's a good place to mine, there's a bad place to mine. And we all recognize that. But when there is a great play on mining and the mining plan is developed, you know what you're going to get. And to your point, we don't mine like we did. In Virginia City, we don't take a paddleboard up the river. We don't make these exposed pits where the end result is a Superfund site. The techniques are a lot different. And Montana, we have tailings that contain critical minerals. There's technology looking at a coal ash on critical minerals. There's a play. When I say a play, there's a huge mining opportunity. Walkersville, Butte, Montana, an enormous silver deposit there. That's again subterranean. It'd be a underground mine, but it's above the water table. So there's a great opportunities in Montana to get back, not only jobs, but well, look, our country is vulnerable. COVID. All of a sudden, where are prescriptions being made? Well, China. Well, where's the medical equipment being made? China.
And we need that made here.
Where's our military? And in Bozeman, Montana, you got companies like FLIR that develop very high spec optics for laser designators for lenses, and they get all of their material from China. These are the crystals that are grown. And we got to have an adjustment, and Montana can play a key role in that.
As Ryan, former Secretary of Interior, knows, the thing about critical minerals is it's and they call them rare earth. It's not because they're rare because you can't find them. It's because they occur in small quantities. So like this thing that last year with China was going to choke off, you know, our entire auto and defense industry with magnets. And we're talking like it would all fit on one train. You know, like a single unit train that's going through Montana, that would be like enough for the country for the year. But if they control 100% of it, then they can stop entire industries.
Well, and you're talking about jobs. I did want to point out, and I think you were instrumental in this, Congressman Stillwater. They're coming back, aren't they?
Well, the president put a tariff, an appropriate tariff on Russia because they were undercutting the palladium market. And it made Stillwater, which is primary, you know, there's only three places in the world that the palladium is produced, and Montana happens to be one of them. And palladium is one of these minerals that you need. You need it for all, you know, you'd be surprised. But this tariff allowed Stillwater to go back in. That's 700 jobs. And they're going to turn on the spigot again. And I invite anyone to go to Stillwater Mine and tell me that's not a well-run mine. In Montana, we love the outdoor experience, and we're going to defend it, and we are defending it. But also, come on, America, we need to look at the supply chain, and it's not only mining, it's the processing side. Mm-hmm. So, and those are good jobs in Montana, too. There's great processing, you know, opportunity, I think, in Great Falls, undervalued city, great city, and across Montana. So in Butte can process.
Well, I mentioned AI a few minutes ago. AI is no doubt going to replace jobs, but mining maybe could replace some of those jobs, right? You're still going to need physical bodies to do this stuff.
Yes, and I say on AI, I say that, you know, AI is not going to take your job. Someone that knows how to use AI is going to take your job. Using AI includes actually being able to write good queries, like good questions. I mean, curiosity is becoming a superpower. And if we taught kids in school nothing else other than how to write a good question, because AI can give you the answer. I mean, we're entering an era where we can turn electricity into intelligence. You know, that's for anybody that's curious, that is a boon, because you don't have to speak 27 languages and know how to code to be able to start a company where you could write code and sell a product in 27 countries, because you have this thing that's virtually free that would do all that work for you. So anybody that's willing to take a moment to figure out how to harness this stuff is going to have an amazing life. And it's not, and it will create new jobs. It'll create jobs that we haven't even experienced before. I mean, you go back to the agricultural revolution, they're like, oh man, if we have combines and swathers and tractors, we're going to put a lot of horses out of business. You know, but guess what? It created all kinds of other new jobs and raised the level of quality of life for Americans, because all of a sudden we were feeding the world, as opposed to barely feeding ourselves, we started feeding the world. And this is what's going to happen with AI as well.
What do you tell the folks, though, in Montana that are concerned about the energy portion, because it takes so much energy and so much water?
Well, the new designs on these AI manufacturing, call it AI manufacturing, because it's not really a data center. You're actually taking electricity and manufacturing intelligence. Those manufacturing intelligence factories, the new ones aren't going to need much water because they've got closed loop systems. In terms of power, yes, it takes power. But, you know, we're working with the Trump administration. If the tech companies that are building these have the capital, we call it BYOP, bring your own power. I mean, you've got to show up and build your own power if you want to build a data center. And then if you want to be hooked to the grid, build 20% more and then dump the extra on the grid. We did one in North Dakota when I was governor 15 months ago, $1.2 billion AI factory in a town of 800 people. their electric rates went down. The company agreed, like, oh, you know, we're going to put pressure on housing, we'll build 30 homes. Oh, we're going to put pressure on electricity, we'll buy down everybody in the rural co-ops area on their electric bill. So you can build these things and not have prices go up. The people that are saying that are people that want you to be afraid and are against building virtually anything in our country. And just like critical minerals, we cannot lose the AI arms race to China. If China and China added last year, you know, almost more electricity than we have in our entire country. I mean, these guys, they had 93 gigawatts of coal last year. They opened up a coal plant big enough to run Utah, the entire state of Utah, every 4 days. In China. And we were busy trying, until President Trump got elected, we were busy shutting down power. In the last year under President Trump, we kept 17 gigawatts of coal open. If we hadn't done that, the country would have been dark 2 weeks ago during that big storm on the East Coast. I mean, we have to have the power to make it affordable for our citizens, and we have to have the power to be able to tackle these new industries.
Yeah,
and we can do that.
And we got to do it here.
Well, in Montana, you know, the enforcement, we broke up Montana Power. That was a mistake. You know, now you look at base power and is it bring your own. We're going to be in Butte today talking about some exciting opportunities. And look, I'm a Navy guy. So, you know, if you could take a small nuclear reactor, you can encase it in a pressure chamber. You can submerge it, you know, hundreds of feet below the surface. You can put a propulsion system on and arm it. It's called a nuclear submarine. You know what? We could take that type of technology and produce power. And some of these new systems out there, they're closed circuit. They fit in a Connex box, and they'll produce 12 to 15 megawatts of power. So, you know, also this administration has been really good at forward looking at these types of emerging technologies, not only to be more efficient in what we have, but let's go to the next level, because AI and the world is going to take about power, and power makes a difference. And thank you, President Trump, for $2.25 dollar a gallon. I think I saw one at 202 on the way in, but thank you, because you know, having affordable gasoline in your tank means a lot for people traveling in Montana, because we travel further distances. Okay, we spend more money in fuel than I thought. Probably North Dakota is pretty close.
Mm-hmm. Well, Montana is going to be a key piece in all of this. It's Secretary of the Interior Doug Burgum and Congressman Ryan Zinke. Appreciate you guys' time. I know you got to get out of here and get to Butte. So thanks for stopping by on your way.
Great to be with you, Dave.